Hello, and welcome once again to Drunk on Comics. This is our podcast about comic books, conventions, all other thing nerdies, as I've decided. Hey, now it's stuck in my head. I can't say all other
things. I always wait for you to say it properly. And
I can't anymore. And actually, one of the guys that listens to the show goes, you should say it every time. And I'm like, no, I want to say it right. But
no, I want this site to be professional, straight line, no frills.
No drinking, you know.
So. And enjoy your alternate generic Sprite there.
So, welcome. Glad you guys are joining us once again. My name is Derek. With me this week, we have Kevin and Tony.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Are you like warming up like Christina Aguilera? Or?
Well, yeah. I'm doing some shots of olive oil. Lubricating my vocals.
Shots of olive oil.
Yeah, you've never heard that one before?
No.
I don't know.
That's what Popeye does all the time.
Oh. Virtual high five on that one, Tony. So, all right, guys. We might as well just kick this thing off right away. We're going to get into Off the Shelf, which is where we do our reviews of comic books that came out this week. So here's your spoiler warning. We do talk about a lot of things that happen in the book, some very specific, some general. So if you haven't read your books yet and you want to read them before you hear about them, hit pause, go read them, then come back and listen. Otherwise, if you don't care, you really like spoilers, you are definitely in the right spot. This week, Off the Shelf is once again brought to you by Detroit Fanfare. It's going to be happening October 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Hyatt Regency in Dearborn, Michigan. Awesome little convention. Actually, I shouldn't even say little. It's just an awesome, really nice convention. We're actually going to be there. You can come see us at our table. We're going to do a live recording of our weekly podcast. So check them out on DetroitFanfare.com. Find them on Facebook. Find them as Twitter as well. So we got the spoilers. We got all that stuff out of the way. Tony, kick us off. What you got?
All right. First book that I picked up because it was... It's different. I've been kind of curious. It's New 52, number 0, Earth 2. So,
New 52,
number 0, Earth 2.
Is there phone number somewhere in the title?
Yeah. It's a little confusing there.
Okay, so now that I'm... Okay, we're talking about the number 0s that DC is coming out with.
Yeah, which I think all of them are coming out this... That either came out this week, and then the rest of them come out next week.
They're cramming all these zeros into...
No. I picked up the little flyer cards that they have. It's the next 2 months they're going to...
Oh, next 2 months?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought they were doing it in the next 2 weeks.
That seems like an awful lot of zeros to pick up, because I remember flipping through some of the books. Are there like 30 or 40 of them?
Yeah. I think there might be 52 of them.
New ones as well.
All right. Well.
So Earth Zero, tell us about Earth Zero.
No, it's Earth. Issue number 2.
Earth Zero, issue 52 from the New Zeros.
All right, first off, DC World is not...
I'm sorry, it's just cracking me up.
I knew when I wrote that down to say the name, getting confused. Okay, so Earth 2 is not like Earth 1, because it's designated with a 2.
It's twice as good, really. Yeah.
I don't quite... Like, Marvel Universe, I understand it's a multiverse, and there's all these different worlds, and they have a ton more than DC. I remember back in the day when I was a kid, I read their Infinite Crisis and those Crisis books, and they somehow got rid of most of their other worlds and left somehow, I think, 52 of them. Or, no, that's just... I don't know how many worlds they left, but they left at least 2 of them, obviously. So, Earth 2 is not the world that most DC comic books fall in. I'm assuming that would be number 1, but I could be wrong, and it could be 3 or 4.
Or it could be like Marvel, and it's the 616.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm not sure how these superheroes from before fit into what I've known of Batman, Superman, and all this. But
and one thing to clarify too, I mean, like, because we've got a lot of new listeners that are listening to us for the first time or maybe the second time. as a group, have been primarily Marvel-focused. And so we're trying to spread out and do more DC. I mean, Kevin has read more DC, I think, than any of us. And so it's one of the things. So, I mean, if you hear us talking, we're fanboys. We're not, you know, necessarily professional knowledge sources, but, you know.
We're not the Matrix.
No, but we talk about what we know.
Well, that's something I was going to ask the listeners. Please, please contact us and explain to me some of this new 52 number 0 Earth 2 jargon-ish, because I was confused. Like, I didn't know how these characters differentiated from the ones that I have read, the ones that are kind of more in the knowledge, but yet this is a big book in Earth 2, I've heard. They just came out with that, or maybe it was Earth 1 with the new Batman that just came out last month as well.
God, I don't know. Like, I'm
see, that's the thing. Like, I'm so confused, and that's the thing with this book. Before, I'm not even getting to review, I'm just trying to explain how confused I was, and for the past 4 minutes, I think I've conveyed that. So after, you know, trying to just say, okay, I'm just going to read this for the story and hopefully get something out of it, you know, first off, the writers, James Robinson and Tomas Giriello.
I'm pretty sure you got that one exactly right.
Yeah, I hope so. As a penciler, first off, the art was awesome. So it was a really cool looking book. So that also kept me compelled to keep reading it. But they're fighting bad guys, and it's Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and some guy named Terry Sloan, who have no clue who this guy was. He looked kind of like he had goggles and special ops type things, and he kept saying he was the smartest guy in the world and that he knew the future. Never heard of this guy before, ever. But because he knew the future, he knew what needed to be done. Some guy from Apocalypse, which is the homeworld of, what's his name? Thanos, twin.
I want to say it's Deathlock.
Deathlock?
No, it's not Deathlock. Oh my god.
Yeah,
Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've only read like a, he's actually one of the better,
Tony Darkseid?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're not experts here.
How the hell did I know that? Yeah.
So it seems like that's who they're fighting, but you don't really see they're just battling stuff. But this Terry guy is saying he knows the future and he knows what needs to be done. Then shit gets crazy and awesome when this Terry guy makes Superman go crazy with opal kryptonite.
Is that like opium kryptonite?
Yes, it probably is the metaphor for that. and he not only does he throw this out at the last possible moment, which then makes Batman go bat crazy and start kicking the shit out of Wonder Woman.
He goes bat shit crazy?
Yes. Which Batman did not like that pun. But then he also rigs this device that is holding this opal kryptonite so that Batman, who's the smart guy, also will detonate it and it will blow up and make a Superman permanently crazy. So pretty much then Batman can't stop this thing from going off. And then, ultimately, what's going on in this book is they've said that they've brainwashed some different countries to turn them into, the bad guys did, to turn them into kind of a living soldiers of their war, so that real human soldiers wouldn't really want to tear down zombified type or brainwashed type people. So what's this Terry guy do? He blows them up. He detonates half the world's population because he knows in the future it needs to be done.
So Terry's, like, so he's doing what he has to do, but still he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, well, yeah, and now at the end he got out of there, and now he was sitting saying, you know, kind of monologue of he had to do this, it needed to be done, and now, you know, all of the superheroes are looking for him, and then it says, you know, to be continued, which was kind of interesting that, well, people died, because normally DC comics are more...
Well, half the world died, so
yeah, sucks. More kid-friendly, you know, and, oh, can't do anything or kill anything.
Well, I think with the New 52, I think they have gotten a little bit more towards the adult side of it, you know, which is fine. I mean, but, you know, they have their Superman family adventures and stuff like that Kevin reviewed a couple weeks ago, so, I mean, they have their kids, but... I was talking about this with somebody the other day about how, you know, we look back at the stuff that we read when we were kids, and you look at the X-Men and the Spider-Man cartoon or comics and all that, and you go, oh, these were for everybody. But realistically, they really weren't aimed at kids. They were aimed more teen and up. It's just what you grow up with that you think, oh, that was, but, and when you look back, you go, oh, that was so much more tame, but everything changes with time. I mean, nothing's quite as tame as what it used to be.
No, absolutely.
Do you know it's been 20 years since Batman the Animated Series came out?
Oh my God.
That makes me feel old.
Well, you are old.
But, has anyone seen any of those episodes recently? I haven't seen, it's probably been 10 plus years since I've seen one. I'm just curious to know if that holds up.
I don't know.
Yeah. But my memory says yes.
Oh, yeah. So many good fun memories.
Well, our memory also said that He-Man was good until we were sitting around drinking, watching that here not too long ago. Realized how bad that was.
Didn't back then, though, something tinkle in the back of your head that it wasn't that good?
Outside of Orko, no. But see, like, Orko was just like Snarf, was just like every other crappy kid, you know.
Like in terms of the animation, because then I realized, like, man, he seems to be jumping into that same river the same way, or he's running from one end of the woods to the other end of the woods the same way.
Well, in case you didn't figure it out, every action figure had the same body, so I mean, it's not like that was a stretch, but which, by the way, you could pop the arms off of off the guys and put them on other ones. But I never had Tila, so I always wondered if you could take He-Man's arms off and put her on her, just to make her.
I didn't know that. Bring anyway.
Yeah, I'm full circle. Sorry, Tony. We're already off track this morning. Keep going.
No, I'm good. I'm done. I'll just let you guys ramble on.
All right. So you went from confusion to pretty awesome.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm still confused, but.
Yeah,
I'm awesomely confused.
Here's the question: like, are you going to keep reading, or would it depend on what you're picking up that week?
It probably depend on what I pick up this week. I am interested in who this person is, so I might pick up the next one to try to figure out, or if a listener will, you know, get a hold of us and tell me who this, or I guess I could Google it, but that would be cheating.
There's two really easy ways to get a hold of us: Twitter and Facebook. I'd recommend on this one Facebook, just because you're probably going to need more than 140 characters to explain to Tony what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
So, which, facebook.com/drunkoncomics. So there you go. All right, cool. Well, my book this week that I'm doing first is Irresistible number 2, which diggity. I did. What?
Diggity.
Diggity or giggity?
Giggity. Diggity. Diggity. I can't say that other thing. Other people have already used it.
Oh, okay.
So I got to use this. Something.
Well, how about some honey smacks and just dig them? <You know? laughs> But Irresistible number 2, which I did find out is a limited series. It's from Xenoscope, written by Raven Gregory. Pencils were by Durla Santa Cruz and colors by Franco Riasco. I picked up cover A, which was done by Ali Garza, who I've loved his art for a long time. Now, the background, if you guys haven't read number 1 or you didn't hear a review of this here a couple weeks back, Alan, the main character, got dumped by his girlfriend about a year and a half ago, and he still can't seem to let go. He put a spell, he had a spell put on him that made him completely irresistible, just like the title says, to any woman that he meets. This issue starts out with Alan giving a brief recap of what happened, kind of an inner monologue, along with the self-admission of whining a little bit too much, which I thought was pretty funny, while explaining that he's been alone and feeling it for a long time. That's page 1. Page 2 almost floored me, and I showed you guys this one a little bit earlier. It's a huge double-page spread of Alan railing some chick in the bathroom. It's graphic, but not like porn movie kind of graphic. It's like Showtime at 3 a.m. kind of graphic. So the story progresses with him enjoying the fact that he can get any woman or multiples of women in one case for a brief period of time, only to go back of thinking about his ex again. He finds out she's seeing someone else. It puts him in a little bit more of a depression than before. Upon returning home from finding this out, he's surprised by the girl who was in the coffee shop in the very first issue, which was the first girl that he nailed after the spell was put on him. She's waiting in his apartment with a romantic dinner prepared. She got in there by, like, you know, telling his landlord, I'm his fiancée from out of town. I want to surprise him. So basically she broke in, pulling creepy, you know, clinger chick on him. She is still completely infatuated by him and the spell that was put on him. And when he tries to kick her out, she sees a picture of Alan and his ex, freaks out, busts the picture frame, and takes a shard of the broken glass and starts cutting her own wrists and tries attacking him. So it takes a really serious turn. At the end of the issue...
exactly what I would expect would happen if I had a spell like that placed on me. I'd find the nuttiest, zingiest, fucked up girl.
See, I don't even have that spell and I find those girls. But anyway, this issue ends with Alan calling 911 while the coffee shop girl is laying bleeding out in his arms. Now, this book was my top pick this week because it was absolutely nothing like I imagined it would be after reading the first issue. And there are a couple points I have to make before I dive into it too much. I said before that Gregory's writing can be a little too wordy for me at times. But the impressive thing about this is it doesn't slow down the story. Unlike other comics where I complain about them being too wordy, I never wanted to skip the panels. I never wanted to skip the word balloons in this. He really is a great writer because if you can put that much internal monologue and conversational dialogue into a comic and not kill the pace of the book, he's doing something right. Now, as for the art, I was a little shocked at some of the scenes just because you don't see nudity that much in comics, or at least the comics that I buy and that I read and really enjoy. However, I do really like Santa Cruz's style as a whole, and when you add in the coloring from Riesco, it's got a softer, almost washed look to it than, say, like a J. Scott Campbell or like Ali Garza like on the cover. Now, this book honestly made me think, and I have to say that Gregory did a fantastic job at tackling some of these really hardcore issues and consequences that come with relationships, like the Stage 5 clingers and, you know, all those other things. Well, I mean, he really looks at a lot of different things. I mean, from the feelings that you can have with somebody that when you're in a relationship to what happens when you break up, and even more so, what can happen from one-night stands or even flirting, for that matter. And he touched on a point that's so easily taken for granted, and that's that everything we do affects others, and that sometimes we need to not be so selfish. That's one of the biggest things that I got out of this issue. It blew me away because he really deals with the consequences that come from your own actions. And I didn't expect that at all from this book. I thought it was going to be, honestly, I really liked the beginning, and I know I said last time when I reviewed it that, yeah, sure, they ended issue one with the be careful what you wish for because you just might get it type of thing. But, man, he really nailed it on this. So this is hands down.
Yeah, he nailed it all right.
Yeah. This is hands down my favorite book this week. And considering some of the competition, that's saying quite a lot. I cannot wait to see what's out there.
So is this an ongoing series?
Limited.
Okay.
Limited series. You know, and actually, I wasn't sure at first. I had to do a little research to find out.
Ends with his dick falling off.
he gets leprosy of the dick. Yeah, I don't know how it... But it really is a good book. This is for mature readers, you know, in case you didn't get that already.
Kid-friendly.
I'm surprised, like, this is just on the shelf?
Well, it's on the shelf. But see, now,
or is it, like, behind the counter on
the
shelf?
No, it's on the shelf. The shop that I go to, if anything is rated mature or if it's a questionable type thing, the shop I go to, they bag all of them.
Sure, and that's a responsible thing to do. But, like, how I'd be curious to know how they have this listed in Diamond.
I don't know.
That's interesting, and, like, because... Yeah, do they just say mature on it? Because it actually does show the woman's naughty bits.
Well, it shows a boob. Well, then there's another boob, and there's some butts.
That's naughty, man.
Well,
I can't look at that stuff.
You call it naughty, I call it yum. But, you know, whatever. You know.
It's interesting that, though, it's like, because this stuff would be behind the counter with, like a black bar over the cover, you just see the name on it. I mean, that's going back to when I was collecting. This is definitely pretty risque.
Oh yeah, it is. But you know, and I guess here's the thing with this comic: it could easily be just smut. It could very easily be smut comics, but they don't make it smut. I mean, they show the full spectrum of what goes on from that moment of ecstasy to that moment of sorrow and fear. You know, I think it's one of the most adult and not in a...
Well,
not in like a pornographic way when I say adult. Adult but they and don't, mature.
But they don't Archie it up.
No, they don't. I mean, it's a very realistic for something that has a supernatural sense to it.
Because the main character is he's something like early mid-20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this would be, and if someone who is somewhat attractive and has a spell, I see where... What you're saying.
Yeah, and one of the catches in this book is that his ex-girlfriend, who's trying to get back, she doesn't fall prey to the spell, which is kind of the interesting thing. So I'm hoping that they kind of clarify why it doesn't work on her, but I won't know.
That's how curses work.
Well, it's supposed to be a spell, not a curse. It's careful what you wish for. So,
yeah.
Awesome book. I highly recommend going out and picking up issue 1 and 2, and then... sit and wait like me for issue 3 next month, because it's just fucking killer.
Okay.
Yeah, so, all right, Kevin.
All right, guys. I picked up a Marvel title.
We don't read Marvel.
I don't, just because I know you guys are big into Marvel. I'm so out of the universe. I don't really know what's going on, but I saw this and yeah, well, why not? Spider-Men.
Yes.
M-E-N.
Yes.
Not man, men. So I had no idea what was going on with this. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis. Do you guys know if he's done anything?
Did you ask this last week?
I love the fact that Kevin, that you read comics strictly for the comics. Brian Michael Bendis, he's kind of a big deal. So, yeah.
All right, well,
I'm sure he has many leather-bound books.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Sarah...
Pacelli?
Pacelli.
Yeah.
An artist, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Justin Ponsor did... What, did he do inks or did he do colors?
Colors. And, okay. And for me, like, I guess normally I only see, like, two names on the front, but he gets mentioned on the front cover.
It depends sometimes on... who's working on it, who's doing it, how they promote it. It really varies, because, I mean, sometimes the guy that does the colors won't be there, but you'll have the guy that does the pencils and the guy that does the inks.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, if you got a guy that's doing the pencils and the inks, sometimes you got a guy that does pencils, inks, and colors. Sometimes you got a guy that does those three and writes it, too. So, but then I've got a book later on coming up where there's a writer, one penciler, there are three inkers and two colorists all in the book. So,
well, it is not surprising, because with some of these books, I mean, they're so meticulous in their drawing. Yeah, you need more people to have at it, because or else it's going to take like 6 months to produce one issue. And
yeah, well, and if they're on a time crunch too,
yeah.
So Spider-Man.
Okay, so Spider-Man. Okay, so one thing I really liked about what I picked up, and actually I didn't, apparently number 4 was out this week. I just picked up number 1 and 2, but it was new to me off the shelf. I'm happy to open up and read a little background about this, because I know about Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker, the spider, radioactive spider, all that.
But you weren't familiar with Ultimate Spider-Man?
I had no idea who the hell Ultimate Spider-Man was. I just thought it was just Spider-Man alternate world, and that's what it is, but it's not Peter Parker.
It's Miles Morales. Yeah.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, some sort of kid.
Well, spoiler alert for you, Ultimate Peter Parker got killed.
Well, fortunately, they explained that.
Okay.
they explained it right here. So, which is great that they explained that, because I would be completely lost, and I thought there was just some made up reality that they're making specifically for this. But the real jits of the story is Peter Parker, Spider-Man, meets up with Mysterio. Mysterio, him getting into a fight. He falls into a transdimensional device and goes to another world where there is Miles Morales. And then the two of them get together, and that's pretty much where it's left.
And they fight crime.
They haven't fought a whole lot of crime yet together.
Here's kind of my question. In this, from what you've read, because I haven't read these, I've heard a little bit about it.
Okay.
I mean, is Peter Parker kind of mentoring Miles in this?
No. The first issue was just almost exclusively Peter Parker.
Okay.
And then at the end of it, the two characters meet for the first time. Issue two is them trying to figure out who the fuck each other are because they're from different worlds, and that's where it's left so far. So I'm already very interested in picking up 3, 4, 5
nice.
Of this limited series because I'm interested in it, even though there was a couple of deflating moments for me.
Well, one that I have is, how old is Miles? He's a teenager, right?
I'm guessing he's probably like
13.
Oh my god, he's that young?
So how the hell can this actually be Spider-Man?
Well, it's funny, they make a joke about Peter Parker in his Peter Parker way, makes actually a joke about that, which is pretty damn funny.
Spider-Man made a joke? Well, that's kind of like stretching it for the character, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, copying Deadpool so much.
It is an ultimate reality, I guess.
Yeah, let's get him some extra pouches on his costume.
If I recall correctly, they do actually mention that he is like 13 in here, maybe even younger. But
he's 6.
But okay, so I really like it, though I do have a couple questions. The biggest one I have, and I understand you have to have, you have to have story, whatnot, but why do...
You gotta have story, because like, otherwise it's just a bunch of pictures. I mean, I like pictures, but I mean, I wish it was a fucking pop-up.
I hate you guys.
Go to the Louvre, but...
I hate all these pictures. I don't have any words. what's your question?
Okay. So when you, and this has been this way since the 60s up until now, you have two superheroes meeting together for the first time, and they just figure that each other are total douchebags, and they're on the opposite side. So they, of course, what do? They fight.
Well, yeah, but okay. Now
that happens in every team up.
Some cases, I understand. Like, he was framed, so he's a bad guy. I gotta go after him. But in this one, there's really no reason why they can't just figure it out. And of course, it's more interesting if there's fighting and they're discovering what each Spider-Man can do, because they have different powers, which I just assumed that Miles Morales would have the same powers as the other Spider-Man, because he was bitten by a radioactive spider.
Well, yeah. But I mean, the one was like a daddy long legs, and the other was, you know, whatever it may be. Well, you know, to answer your question, though, I guess from a logical standpoint, if I was living in the superhero world, you know, where these superheroes were around and I could see them and talk to them, you know, at all these times, you would think that with the number of villains that each individual superhero has to face compared to the number of superheroes that they know of, I think there's infinitely more supervillains than superheroes. So I guess maybe you just prejudge.
Yeah.
You know, judge a book by its cover, if you will. So,
but they handled this at first I'm like, oh, here we go again. They actually handle it well, and like I said, they're figuring out each other's powers, and that's kind of cool. And then the protagonist in this is Mysterio. Now, all I know of him is a fancy special effects kind of guy.
Yeah, who has his head inside like a bong.
A fishbowl?
Yeah, a bong. There's smoke in it. So yeah.
Well, you got me thinking. Like, hey, you can make anything out of into a bong. But he makes this dimensional vortex, and like, well, how does he get this power? And maybe they'll explain it later on. But just some questions. But though there's a couple bumps in the road here. It has me intrigued to read more about it. There's a cameo by Sergeant Fury. That's pretty cool.
Samuel L. Jackson Fury,
or the real Nick Fury?
No, it's a black guy.
Yeah. Okay, so Sam Jackson Nick Fury or David Hasselhoff Nick Fury? David Hasselhoff was in, I think it was a made for TV movie.
Yeah, that never. It's actually, I don't think.
Never aired?
No, it aired once, but it's like you can't find it.
I think it was on USA or something like that.
Was it like Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Was that?
Yeah. We'll have to look it up and show you.
Well, anyway. So, Spider-Man, I'll give that a firm head nod.
Okay. Curious, on the art scale of where's that at? Okay. All right, sweet.
I definitely say the detail's pretty good on it.
Anything you liked more than anything else?
What do you mean?
Was there anything that really stuck out to you one way or the other?
No. Good or bad? No. My long box I'm talking about, it's not like one of these issues where it had some low moments in terms of its art. This was pretty steady all the way through in terms of high quality art.
Cool. I'm glad you liked it because I'm curious on that. So, we'll see. Tony, you got another book, don't you?
Yes, it is an oldie but a newie.
Newie. That's like saying it's an innie but it's an outie. You can't have both.
You can have an outie inside your garage.
You could have an innie inside innie outie. Outie, which would just be gross, but anyway.
What I got this week is a Thanos Quest. To explain why it's an oldie, it was back in the 90s. That this came out, but they reprinted it with the whole Avengers movie and Thanos becoming more into the realm of Marvel Comics now. They reprinted this. I've wanted to pick this up for a while because I don't know what happened to my copies from way back when, but it is one of the stories of why I fell in love with Thanos, and it is a must pick up for pretty much anyone regardless. Explains a story of him on his conquest to get the Infinity Gems. One of the biggest and best Marvel events ever was the Infinity Gauntlet.
Hell yeah.
And this is his quest to find the Infinity Gems. Overall, it starts off with him being, was it not the Paramore, but helping out Mistress Death, and he's been in love with Death for forever, but he's got this idea of how he's got his own scheme of what he wants to do to make her love him or, be equal with her. He's a lowly demigod. She's Death. She's, a lot more powerful than him.
Do they explain, how he found out about the gems?
Yes, the gems have been around before. Adam Warlock's always had the soul gem, but they didn't explain, or they kind of made the gems a little bit more powerful through this series. It made these gems be the omnipotent power that they are. Before, they were just kind of some gems that were powerful. And he does that through Death's Infinity Well, kind of like a magic scrying well that he got knowledge from to go on this quest. So he asked Death if he can go to help destroy half the world to get these gems. She says, sure. So he first...
correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't he doing this because he's got a crush on Death and he wants to...
Yeah, oh yeah, he wants to be her equal.
Impress her and...
Yeah.
I'm going to kill people for you because It's like bringing you flowers and chocolate because mm-hmm. you're a creepy bitch.
Yep. So he first, and this, the reason why it's so good too, I know, Derek, you don't like a lot of the galaxy-spanning
stories. I don't get into the major, like, universal type stuff.
And this deals with a lot of the elders, the elder gods, these beings of just high power that they don't have on Earth because... Some of them have come, like the in-betweener. He's come and messed with the Avengers before. Actually, a lot of these people have come to Earth. The Collector, he was X-Men. He's collected a couple of the X-Men a couple times before. So anyways, he goes on his quest, and he goes first to the Nexus of Realities and finds the in-betweener, and he gets the Soul Gem from him. With the Soul Gem, he then goes and seeks out Champion on this planet called... I can't even pronounce the planet's name. Tamarata.
Okay.
And he gets the power gem.
We don't know, so it's not it's not like we're going to call you out on it.
And pretty much all these elders have these gems, but they're not fully using them. They don't know the secret about them. They just, you know, thinking they're just talismans, or they're using them in a way that will help them out, not realizing there's six out there, and if you have all of them, you become a god. So he goes to the gardener who has the time gem, who, well, he's kind of a gardener and created this awesome paradise, and he, well, steals that one. He runs into the Collector, who, like I said, he's been to Earth multiple times, just picking up people. He then goes to the runner, which this guy is, I don't know.
Is he fast?
Yes. He's fast because he has a space gem, which he pretty much has been bending space-time to be even faster. I'm sure his power was to run, and now he can run faster. But like I said, they don't know, these guys don't know the powers of these gems.
So he's like that Bolt guy from Jamaica.
Yes. Usain Bolt?
Yeah.
Yeah. He then, after that, he goes and brings the runner to the runner. This kind of explains in this book, because this is a one-shot book.
It's a compilation of how many different issues, though?
Well, it's two different issues that were long. It's about 120 pages. Oh, it's $7.99 though. So, but you're getting a great story for it.
Is it just a kind of a re-release?
It's a reprint.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But when he's talking to the runner, this is where he explains that they discovered, you know, true nature of the Infinity Gems. They're like physical remnants of a godlike being that existed before the creation of our universe, and this being committed suicide out of his loneliness of having no one else in the universe. So these six gems are, you put them together and you pretty much become an all-powerful god of this universe. Right. That's what makes the Infinity Gauntlet is what he made, this gauntlet to just wield them in his hand. I mean, you could physically just have them on anything, but
you could make like a charm bracelet.
Yes, or necklace. An
Infinity charm bracelet.
Yes. Yeah. So with that, he then...
What about Infinity Codpiece? What? You just fucked the world.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes no sense, but that's you.
Come on. When have I really ever made sense? I mean, let's go back and talk about the cucumbers again.
I do want to revisit that.
Infinity cucumbers. We'll talk about that next week.
Getting back to it, finally he goes to the Grandmaster, and he... who's also visited Earth multiple times, and he beats him in a game and gets the final gem, the Mind Gem. So what we have is Soul Gem, Power Gem, Time Gem, Space Gem, Power Gem, I don't know if I already said that, and the Mind Gem. Put all these together, and you have pretty much all power of the universe. You can... the Reality Gem is what he got from the Collector. All this at the end, he gets them, and he goes back to Death, and Death's still not talking to him. She's always talked to him through her minions, and he is pissed. He's like, what the hell? I'm your equal now. Why the hell aren't you talking to me? And she's just not, and he demands to know why, in which case her minions reply that he's not her equal, but her superior. So it'd be not fitting to address him directly.
Oh.
He storms off, wondering, you know, how becoming a god still doesn't win Death's favor, which kind of goes into this.
Women, eh?
Yeah. So with that, even becoming a you know, a god like being and having full control over this universe, death still doesn't.
I have the perfect solution. He keeps all six of his gems, but he gives her gem in the holograms. And then they're equal.
Stop trying. So this was written by Jim Starlin and penciler Ron Lim. I know I met Jim 3 years ago at Detroit Fan Fair, actually.
Yeah.
Had him sign a couple books.
You got a sketch card from him, too, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, sketch card. Dude's awesome. He, in DC World, created the new gods, are they? Or the old gods?
I don't
know. The older new gods, something, I don't know. He created Darkseid,
mm-hmm.
Which is why Thanos kind of looks like him. The dude has created a lot of awesome characters. He's one of my favorite writers, and he had a great ongoing writing with Silver Surfer for a while. And this right here is one of his best works, prelude to Infinity Gauntlet, which is still hands down my favorite series ever.
So, should pick up, absolutely must.
Absolutely must. I mean, especially for the people that have no clue who Thanos is, who, when they saw this bad guy at the end of the Avengers, who the hell is that guy? This explains a lot of his motivations, a lot of who he is. It also, all around, just an awesome book in general. But if anyone's going to be seeing Avengers 2, this is a great starting point to know who that bad guy is going to be, because nice. He's going to be in it.
Cool. All right, well, I got one more book for off the shelf. I'm going to keep this one brief because we're running long already today because we keep getting off
topic. Hey, wait. Well, I got something off topic for you. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're not.
No, I am not. Just popped in my head because we were talking about it earlier of other worlds and stuff. If you guys could interview any superhero, who would it be and why?
Okay, first question. How much have you had to drink
already today? That's a little off topic and random.
But yeah, well,
okay.
I guess the first question, if we're going to go along with this, I don't know, we'll call it maybe like a Tony Butts In segment.
I call it off topic.
Yeah, I'm calling it Tony Butts In. So, okay, well, look, we got to set up rules. If I'm going to interview a superhero, obviously I know of the superhero and I'm living in their world. Do I know their like their secret identity?
Nope. You are in that world, so like Spider-Man, you don't know who that is. Tony Stark, you would know who that is.
Yeah, because he's told people.
Yes.
You know, so. Kevin, do you have one right off the top of your head? Because I got a couple.
Man, I would you know what I would do? Like, I would want to interview the Juggernaut. Just because I really like Juggernaut, but Juggernaut.
Would you tell him say the phrase? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. Just say it.
Just say it once.
It's not even my line, dude.
No, I want to interview. I would want to interview him prior to him being a good guy, like when he was the douchey rampaging guy.
Yeah,
I'm like, why are you so angry?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Why are you so angry? Why are you so bitter about your brother-in-law? I mean, like, he's just
trying to help.
What?
Stepbrother.
Yeah. Whatever. you know what I'm talking about. But why are you so angry at him? He's just trying to help people.
Yeah, and he's bald and can't walk.
Yeah, like, he's a cripple, dude. Why are you being so upset about it? I don't know. I'd just like to see why he's so angry.
I was thinking.
Well, no, I'm gonna butt in.
No, fine then.
See, because I'm kind of the same thing. I don't like, why are you so angry? I would want to interview Storm because I fucking hate her, and I'd be like, why do you suck more than Jubilee? I don't know, like probably like a like.
Would you ask her something about her hairstyle? Like, are you gonna think about going back to Mohawk? Femme Mohawks are in here.
No, but I'd be rude because I don't like her, and I'd ask her, like, you know, is that really rain that you're making, or is it just another way of you to cry more? You know? and like, I don't know, like, when you PMS, do you cause flash floods?
Be like, not only the world hates you, T'Challa hates you too.
Oh yeah, well, and that's something actually I posted on Facebook and Twitter a long time ago. This is like, does T'Challa get like on like little updates on his smartphone for storm warnings? Shit like that. So that's one. I got another one though.
I would.
What about you, man?
I was thinking Spider-Man and just be like, Aunt May, she's old. Let her die, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, no.
That's horrible.
You know how many times has Aunt May interrupted him and Mary Jane or him and Gwen?
Do you know his secret identity?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh,
fuck off. Now we got you on your own game.
Okay, then I wouldn't ask him that. I would be like, why do you keep rescuing old chicks?
Why do you keep what's wrong with that old bitch that keeps getting in the way that you have to keep rescuing?
I'd ask him if he thinks his bad guys are more numerous than Batman's.
Well, could that work in an interview? Because those are separate universes.
Because
Spider-Man's in the 616 and Batman's in the 8675309 universe.
Or Earth 2 Batman.
Earth 2, yeah, never mind. Although, there is one other one.
I would get the Mysterio portal.
There's one other one, though, that I thought of. Going back to when we were talking about Space Punisher, Kevin, when you and I were talking, I'd want to ask the Thing if he has a creamy center.
Who?
The Thing.
Oh.
Because in that one, like, the Space Hulk rips off Thing's arm, and he's, like, bleeding out from it. And, you know, I'd said I didn't know he had a creamy center.
That would be an interesting question. I would like to ask, actually, Ben Grimm, is what's your fascination with the Yancey street gang?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got a secret man crush on these men or something? Yeah. I think he does.
Well, there's always that classic question from Mallrats, like, you know, is his dick made out of rock? You know? But I had another one though that I put it on Facebook. You know, I want to know if he's going to drive around in a Chevy pickup blasting like a rock all the time. And the other question that I would have for him, whatever, it's cheesy, but it's an appropriate question. The other thing though, because
you're meeting a superhero, and that's the first thing you're going to think of.
Well,
are you driving around in a Chevrolet?
Well, if I'm going to ask
him, but it's a Ford.
If I'm going to ask him about his dick, I mean, come on. But do you think, like, if he has diarrhea, does it come out like sand or does it come out like a mudslide? So okay, we are running.
I just thought of one more. So I would love to interview Tony Stark and ask him why he pretends to be Robert Downey Jr. in our world.
Nice. All right.
Where are we?
I have one quick one, and then Kevin, we got to do your long box and any turnpike and booze in a book, and we got a ton.
We'll get in and out real quick.
Okay. Green Lantern number 0 from DC, written by Jeff Johns, penciled by Doug Mankey, and inked by Christian Almey, Keith Champagne, and Mark Irwin. This is the book I was telling you had a lot of people. The story on this one centers around a man named Simon Baz, who lives in Dearborn, home of Detroit Fanfare, and he happens to be a Muslim.
They actually Dearborn, Michigan?
They actually do. Dearborn, Michigan. Jeez. Yeah, which surprised me. Happens to be a Muslim and happens to be from Arab descent. And they show some really short flashback scenes on the first page of the types of prejudices that he and other people in his community have endured since 9/11. Just to kind of give a little background perspective. Now, Baz is a car thief who has, in this book, stolen a van and realizes that there's a bomb inside. He drives it to the car factory with a plant that he'd worked at where he'd been laid off from, a couple years back, knowing it was empty, ditches the van as it crashes into the plant and explodes. And he does that because he knew that it wouldn't hurt anybody doing that. He's taken into custody, he's repeatedly questioned, and he's about to be tortured when he's given his Green Lantern ring at the end, because he is a man who can face fear and not have it affect him. So now, as far as the couple little talking points on this book, the art in this is spectacular. It's very crisp. It's very clean. The colors from Tony Avena and Alex Sinclair are top notch. The writing was good. but nothing super amazing yet. And I only say that because it's an origin story, and there are a ton of good little bits of foreshadowing, but I can't say it's great until I see what Geoff Johns does with it down the road. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this book is because this is the first Muslim superhero that I know of. And I think it was smart of them to kind of show that stereotyping and racial profiling that still exists. But for them trying to show this character as a hero, I don't understand why would they would have him starting out as a car thief. And not to mention, on the cover, he's holding a gun. And I don't get that. I mean, I know
he's not holding a gun at all in this.
No. You know, and I don't get exactly why a guy with a Green Lantern ring would need a fucking gun in the first place, because when they show him holding the gun on the cover, he's wearing his Green Lantern outfit, which you actually don't see in the comic. Now, I don't know a ton about the Green Lanterns, but I am actually really interested in this character, and honestly, it was the costume design and the artwork on the cover that made me pick it up. So,
I'm gonna. So you like the gun?
You know, I don't care if he's got a gun or not, you know, but, well, you know, I think for them trying to show racial profiling as being an issue and something wrong, that I think they missed the mark by having him holding a gun on the front cover when it has nothing to do with the story inside, and having him start out as a car thief,
I'm trying to be edgier.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't get it. I mean, mm-hmm. To me, it's almost contradictory. You know,
So is this supposed to tie into the normal Green Lantern?
It's going to. This is the first appearance of him.
Okay.
So I mean,
I'm just thinking like because the recent Green Lanterns that I've read, like including the annual.
Yeah, and he's going to be in the new JLA, I think, that's coming out next year too, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to look, because that looked really cool, but. You know, I'm going to follow him in whatever books he's in for a while and see what he's all about. And maybe I'll finally have a regular DC character that I follow. So, Kevin, to grade it on your scale, I'll give it not bad. So, there you go. Kevin, you got one from your long box.
Yes, I do. Actually, I was reading Spider-Man, and I don't know. It's just something about it made me want me to pull up an Elseworlds. So I grabbed Superman, Speeding Bullets.
Ooh.
Yeah. Done by J.M. DeMatteis.
Okay.
And Eduardo Barreto.
Okay.
This is a story of Superman falling to Earth, and instead of falling into Kansas, he actually falls to Gotham City.
Is this the one where he's adopted by the Waynes?
He is.
Okay.
He's picked up by the Waynes.
I read this forever ago.
Yeah, and it was cool to actually pull this up, because I completely forgot where this was going. It's been so long since I've read it.
Well, it was published in 93.
Jesus Christ, man. Basically, it's the same story that Bruce Wayne went through. Because actually, in Superman, Kal-El, Clark Kent is now Bruce Wayne. There is actually no Bruce Wayne. The Waynes did not have a child, because they found this one discarded on the side of the road. And
they're like, ooh, piece of candy.
Yeah, so they grow up, and then the Waynes die the same way the Waynes in the normal world perished. And what's interesting is because there's no Bruce Wayne, there's no Clark Kent, so they address Metropolis slightly, basically saying Metropolis is now this
shithole, crime-ridden place?
Awesome. They talk about Luther. There's Luthers in this book, of course. You got Superman, you talk about Luther. But now Luther pretty much owns that city, and now everything is happening in Gotham. They take Lois Lane and Perry from the Daily Planet. They bring them over here. They bring other elements of Metropolis over to Gotham.
Okay.
And It's a Batman story, so there's some internal struggle with him grasping the death of his parents, along with these newly discovered powers he has, and then there's this romantic interest, and then there's also an appearance by the Joker. I'm actually not going to spoil this one if someone wants to actually pick this up, because it's a great read.
My guess is you can probably find that in the 50-cent or dollar bin, too.
Oh, the last time I saw this at the comic book show, $15.
Really?
It was the least amount I could find this for.
Wow.
$15, yeah. So, but, you know what? It is worthy of a read, and then if you do as many drugs and booze as I have done over the years, you completely forget about what you read so many years ago, and so it's a brand new issue.
That's
So there's another plug for a reason why to collect comic books. But... The art was on and off. Some of it was killer, like this image of Batman I'm showing you guys, awesome. But some of the lettering and some of the images was a little off. But
it's kind of a time difference too, as far as what was hot, what was not. You know, the styles.
But for me, it's for DC Elseworlds. It's all about the story. This story fucking delivers. I love Superman. I love Batman. It's merged together so well. If you find a copy, pick it up.
So it's a hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
All right. Cool. I'm going to jump right into Indie Turnpike. We might come back to news and notes if we have time. Damsel's number one from Dynamite Comics, written by Leah Moore and John Repien, art by Anik, and colored by Ivan Nunes. The main cover I got was done by J. Scott Campbell. This is a fairy tale type story, complete with trolls, mermaids, kings, queens, princesses, princes, fairies, the whole nine yards. I think there's like a satyr in here. This centers around a girl who's most likely a mermaid, although she doesn't seem to have any memories of her past. The royal family's pursuing her. The art is really pretty, which it should be in a book like this, but I really wasn't blown away by it. I mean, it was really good. It just wasn't my style. However, I did really appreciate the panel layouts of the book. Those were done incredibly well. As for the story, there's a ton going on here, and honestly, maybe a little bit too much for the first issue, but I'm torn on it. This is certainly a book that should be read more than once just because of the sheer volume of information put in. There are a ton of characters, an incredibly wordy book, and it's not a fast read, at least it wasn't for me. I still liked it. I'm going to pick up the second issue on it, see where it goes. But the second issue really is going to be the deciding factor if I keep going after that. So if you like fairy tale type stories and you like books with a lot to lot to digest, and you like very deep and seemingly well thought out plot lines, then this is your book to check out. But it's a heavy read for a first issue, I thought. So, but good. So. Tony, you got interwebs real quick?
Yes. My link of the week is comiclist.com.
Comiclist.com?
Yes.
I haven't heard of this one.
It is awesome. I recently came about it. It pretty much has each week the new titles that are coming out, they're made by, how much they're going to be. They'll say if they're reprints or not. They'll talk about the variant covers of the comic books, and ultimately it's a great source to know what's coming out for the week. It has, you can look up past weeks too, so if you're curious if you just missed an issue, it also has the next weeks coming out. Like I said, I recently came about this like a couple weeks ago, and it's been awesome to kind of see what else is out there, because not all the comic book places have all their new titles out and about.
Exactly.
And so this is kind of a place where I've come and seen, oh, that looks interesting.
I always think, like, this would be handy for me because I'm not necessarily getting there on a Wednesday or maybe even a Thursday. And I might be missing something.
Right.
Because they only grab, like, three or five issues and already been blown over.
And it's a nice way, too, to... how far in advance do they go, Tony? Do you know?
About a week out. Okay. So it has... there's next week's comic list. There's
something in particular that you're really looking... You know, that if you want to make sure you get something, I would recommend picking up the Diamond Previews book. I mean, they aren't cheap. I think they're, like, $5 or whatever for those for the big magazines, but it's worthwhile if you are a collector and you want to get something, because then you can give your retailer heads up and they can order it. One thing that actually goes along really well, I'm glad you brought this up because I didn't know there was an online version like this, but there is an app, at least for iPhones, from Comixology called Pull List, and that's what I use. And, you know, it's nice because, yeah, you can see, yeah, and you can, now on that one, you can separate by publishers, you can separate however you want, you know, and you can just look and see what's being shipped that week, or you can just look at the stuff that you normally pull. So that's a cool, that's a really cool site. Thank you on that one.
No problem.
Who's in a book this week? I got Punisher number 15 from Marvel Comics, written by Greg Rucka, art by Marco Cicchetto, and colors by Matt Hollingsworth. And I am pairing this with a unibrow, or I'm sorry, unibrew. It's U-N-I-B-R-O-U-E, and I always want to say unibrow, but it's unibrew Raftman. And the Raftman is a peat-smoked whiskey ale. And
can you taste the smoke?
Yeah, it actually does have a smoky flavor.
Does it have a whiskey flavor?
Not much.
Does it taste like beer?
Yes, it absolutely tastes like beer. It's got a 5.5% alcohol by volume. And the reason I picked it is that both the book and the beer are complex, and they're made for people with really good taste. But they're still both very easily enjoyed by anyone who can appreciate more than just, a Miller Lite and the Sunday Funny Pages. But more importantly, the more I read of this book and the more I drink of those beers, the more I love both of them. So go find both. So that does it for Booze in a Book. Tony, we got maybe a minute if there's something really important you got for news and notes.
Nothing that can't wait for another week. There's nothing too newsworthy that I've come across.
Okay, yeah. I got a couple little things, but again, nothing that's...
It's a low flow week?
It was, yeah. You know, not much rain. Storm wasn't PMSing. So, all right. Couple quick little things. Any of you that are artists or know artists that would like to be featured on our website, please contact us. We've got an Artist Alley page on our website. Be more than happy to link you up there. It's free. We just want to help promote you.
To our listeners, why haven't you liked us on Facebook yet? Yeah. We are trying to really create a great database on Facebook. You may be Facebook haters, but we put up a lot of funny jokes and content on Facebook that we can't necessarily put in 140 characters on Twitter.
Well, you know, and it's not quite the same on Twitter, because I think, you know, it depends on how you're using Twitter, if you're using it on your phone or if you actually kind of have to click on some of them to see the pictures, depending on what format of Twitter
Have you guys ever, when's the last time you logged in on the computer for Twitter? Maybe when I initially set up my account?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've only done it 3 or 4 times. It's either on my phone or on my iPad, one of the two.
I was just curious, because I was reading that apparently Twitter's surpassing Facebook in the amount of ad revenue these days, which is crazy to me.
I don't understand how that's possible, because like I don't see an ad.
Yeah, especially in the Facebook app, you don't see ads in on the apps, and I figure that's just how most people are accessing these sites. But
well, yeah, but then again, you know, I mean, and I'll tell you one of the reasons why I don't do Facebook on my phone is the app sucks because it's slow as hell. Really? So anyway, that's enough about that. We also do have some random posts that go up throughout the week, you know, on our website, which for those of you looking, if you haven't already known, it's drunkoncomics.com. Find us on Twitter at Drunk on Comics. Find us on Facebook. I already told you that. Go like us. Go follow us. Tell your friends. So that's pretty much it. So, fellas, say goodbye.
So long. Farewell. Are we to say goodbye?
Tony?
What?
All right, guys. My name is Derek on behalf of all of us here at Drunk on Comics. Keep reading those comic books, and we'll be back again next week to talk about them then.
Diggity.
See ya.
love.